Romans chapter 13 is where we shall begin in a moment or two. Now, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I don't know if you've ever heard this before. You probably have. But someone put this together, I don't know who, and it's based on John 3:16, which many consider to be the greatest verse. Of course, all the verses from God's Word are God's Word, and so we really ought not to elevate one above another. But John 3:16 certainly is a magnificent verse, and you see it at football games, and I don't know where else. I'm not sure if they understand really the magnitude of what's declared in that verse or not, but you'll see that, John 3:16, quite a bit. And this individual, whoever they were that put it together in the following fashion. "For God, the greatest lover, so loved to the greatest degree the world, the greatest company, that he gave the greatest gift, his only begotten Son, that whosoever..." The greatest opportunity believes the greatest simplicity in him, the greatest attraction shall not perish, the greatest promise, but the greatest difference shall have the greatest certainty, eternal life, the greatest possession. That being said, much truth in that. Whoever did that, I'm grateful they did, because it certainly is food for thought. That being said, we've got to ask ourselves, if that is the greatest love, which it is, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That being the case, we must ask ourselves, what is the greatest debt? And to whom is it owed? Romans 13, verse 7, we read, "Render therefore to all their dues." Pay up. Tribute, to whom tribute. Then, of course, the King James translators added the two words, "is due," which it's properly supplied, but it's not really necessary. It reads quite well, "Tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another." That is the greatest debt, one that could never be repaid, the debt of love. That is a debt that simply can never be completely paid. We owe it. Render to all the sum owed. This particular sum is unquenchable and forever out of total reach. To owe is to be in debt. If you owe somebody something, if I owe you a favor, I owe you, I'm in debt to you. And of course, the borrower is servant to the lender. And so, God is to whom we are in debt, and to his Son. We are the servants and ought to be to God, who did more than lend, he gave. There's a big difference between lending and giving. I've always thought, I learned this many years ago, not to be a borrower or a lender. And I think the old adage is, neither a borrower nor a lender be. If you have something that you're going to give, just give it. And of course, that's what God did. Don't expect to get paid back. But when it comes to love, that's a debt. That's a debt that we owe. We ought to pay it. Render to all their dues. God is due our love, as is his Son. And because of that, since the love of God is obeying his commandments, we are obliged. We ought to. It's the right thing to do. It's the only right thing to do, is to obey His word, and His word begins with love. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended or summed up in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You see, if I love you, I certainly would not commit adultery. You wouldn't cheat on your wife or your husband if you loved them. You wouldn't kill somebody you loved. It takes hate to murder somebody. And that should be thou shalt not murder. You wouldn't steal from somebody you love. Stealing is not an act of love, is it? It's an act of deprivation. Coveting is not an act of love. You know, what does it mean to covet? Well, it means I want what you have. Not only do I want what you have, I want exactly what you have. Not just something like what you have, I want what you have. And if there's any other commandment, and there are plenty, the ones we read are just some of the ones that most people are familiar with, have the closest relationship to, been mentioned in the Ten Commandments. But they're all comprehended, they're all summed up under thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, because love does not work any ill. You cannot hurt somebody by loving them. And of course, we're not talking about brotherly love, which is conditional. That's mutual. You love me, I love you back. You don't love me, I stop loving you. That's brotherly love. Or we have something in common, you know. Or, of course, then there's the erotic love. Oh, baby, baby. I love you, I love you, I love you. But that subsides quickly upon satisfaction, doesn't it? That's not the kind of love we're talking about. We're talking about the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave. And the world, not just the greatest company, but the most evil. The world was not full of wonderful people who deserved to be loved. As a matter of fact, it's grace wherewith we've been saved, and grace is undeserved, unmerited favor. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We couldn't have. Not individually, not collectively. It was God's love that provided it. His love provided His grace and His mercy. And His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, loved the Father, loved His Word, was obedient to His Word to the end that we're the recipients, we received His love. It's a tough word to say early in the morning. So we are in debt. Look in 1 John. 1 John, of course, is in many ways a reflection of the Gospel of John, different parts of it anyway. Many Bible scholars believe that is because the Apostle John was the one to receive revelation to record both the Gospel, and also 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, suggesting why they're appropriately, or would then be appropriately named John. But here in 1st John, interestingly enough, chapter 3, verse 16, we read, hereby, or in this, perceive we the love. And then, of God is in italicized letters, again, it has been supplied by the translator. It is not in the original manuscripts. It's not that it's improperly supplied. It's properly supplied, but it's more emphatic if we simply say, hereby perceive we the love. In this, we cannot miss this love, because He, Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us. And because He did, We ought to lay down our lives for the brother. And of course, ought to there, again, is a debt. We owe it. It's a debt. We owe this. You owe me love. You are in debt to love me, whether you like it or not. Now, you don't have to like me, but you have to love me because you're in debt. Pay up. I love you. I'm not compelled to like you, but I am commanded to love you. And the love of God is not contingent upon your behavior. It's not contingent upon the way you look. It's not contingent upon whether or not you reciprocate, which is the word I wanted before, which was improperly supplied by me. But I did correct that. So you owe that. You ought to love me. You ought to love one another. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, we also read, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought." Again, it's a debt. It's the greatest debt. We ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby are in this, know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. This love of God, is the type of love that sees us through, even though he sees through us. It's something that we owe. And, you know, when you owe a debt, let's say you're foolish enough to get a credit card. Credit card debt is the kind of debt that hardly ever gets paid. If you pay what the credit card company wants you to pay every month, the minimum, you literally will never pay those people off because they will increase the percentage of the interest to the degree that it will add to the principal more than you've paid into it. And so you could actually pay a monthly bill to them and owe them more after paying than you did before. That's sort of an unquenchable debt. But if you were to double up, triple up, give chunks of money, you could pay that off and save the interest and be done with that debt. And if you have a series of people that you owe, which you should never owe, avoid it at the greatest cost in your life, that just avoid debt because it's bondage. But if you have a series of debts, you start with the smallest ones first and you pay them off. You get them out of the way. This, because if you just do this dribs and drabs, you'll never ever see the end to it. But if you pay them off, pay the smallest ones first, pretty soon all you're left with is the largest one. And then usually the larger ones you can pay off with whatever plan that they agree with you on. But when it comes to love, you cannot love me and then you're done. It's even more pervasive than a credit card. It is, because you can't pay it up, because it is a debt that you will have forever and ever and ever. And it's not a bad debt to have. And it's right. Look in Proverbs chapter 3. Something you always have the ability to do is love, especially since receiving that Spirit that we read about just moments ago in 1 John chapter 4. Go to Proverbs 3, please. You always have this ability. Now, you may not always have the wherewithal to pay off a loan. You may have to scrimp and save and tighten the belt. And you may have to dig deep. If you owe somebody a favor, you know, sometimes you got to dig deep for that. If you've ever seen The Godfather, you know that he would do certain things for people. They would come to him and say, "Godfather, help me." And he would make them offers they couldn't refuse, right? And they would be in debt to him. And at one point, when it was necessary, he would call in his debt, wouldn't he? And sometimes that would be a hard thing for the person who had gone to him to pay up, especially with interest, right? Put somebody's horse's head in their bed. And so, that being said, you can't always dig deep and repay that friend or a person who... Sometimes people do things that you can never repay. And even if you did, it would be, you know, a difficult thing to do. But love is something you can you always have the wherewithal. You always have, there is never an excuse not to love. Here in Proverbs chapter 3, in the 27th verse, we read, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power of the hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Now, of course, you might come and look to borrow a cup of sugar from me, or a cup of tea, right? Or a cup of coffee. That used to be something they used to do in New York when I was a kid. You know, your neighbors would borrow a cup of sugar or a cup of coffee. Anybody remember that? Do you remember that? That's a bygone age, isn't it? Well, today people would be offended if you went and knocked on their door and asked to borrow something like that. Some people would go get your own. What's wrong with you? And so, of course, there are material things, and the word addresses that. Don't withhold good from them to whom it is due. Well, if you want a cup of sugar, maybe you don't even deserve that cup of sugar, right? I'm not in debt to give you the cup of sugar now, am I? But what am I in debt to give? Love. And that is always in your power to give. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do. You've always got that. You never have an excuse not to love. So you could give your excuses to the Father, but that's not going to cut the mustard with him. We always have it in our position to love. Never send someone away who comes to you for love. Never send them away and say, come back tomorrow, I'll love you tomorrow. Will you still love me tomorrow? It was one of those songs from Motown, one of those girl groups years ago, who shall remain unnameless at this moment. Mainly because I can't remember. I remember the song, but not the singers. Look in Matthew 22. The greatest debt, that's what we're looking at. But you keep paying it, and you should. Because at least if you're paying, you're current, right? You keep your bills current, you're in good stead, right? You'll have a good credit score with the Father. Everybody's worried about their credit score. Me, personally, I could care less. My wife tells me I have an excellent credit score. I don't know why. I don't owe anybody anything. I don't borrow money, so why would I even have a credit score? I don't. But, you know, some people, I don't have a good credit score. I want a good credit score. Why? So you can go in debt? But I want a good credit score with the Father, don't you? Matthew 22, verse 36, I'm sure you're familiar with this. This lawyer, he wanted to tempt Jesus. And he said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. In other words, with everything that's in you. That's the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Of course, there's a record where one of these dudes said to Jesus, well, then who is my neighbor? And Jesus then gave him the parable of the Good Samaritan. We know about that. The man was in need. This guy walked by him. Anybody who's near you that needs it is whom you owe the love to. Anybody within your sphere of influence. I know we go to different parts of the world to help people in need. And that's great. That's all fine, well, and dandy. But don't forget the person standing right next to you. Don't step over the person who's in dire need of the love of God in order to drop a care package or something at the local food bank, or to hop on an airplane and go somewhere else. Make sure you love those people who are near. If you can't love those who are near, how can you honestly expect to love those who are afar? It's as it says in the Word, if you cannot love your brother whom you can see, how could you possibly love God whom you cannot see? Remember, no man hath seen God at any time. So, the greatest commandment is to love God with everything you have, everything you are. And the second one is just like the great one, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I know you love yourself, right? I love me. I love me, a bushel and a peck, a bushel and a peck. You bet my pretty neck, right? Don't you love yourself? Do you love yourself? Of course. If you didn't, you wouldn't take care of yourself, would you? Would you give yourself the crappiest food you could find there, Brother Sean? Absolutely not. And Miss Stephanie, would you not give yourself the most comfortable situation you could possibly give yourself? Of course not. And why? Because you love yourself, right? You take care of yourself. You're supposed to love those that are near you in the same way. It's a debt we have. It's also interesting to note that Deuteronomy chapter 6, where I'd like you to go, has a preface which for some reason is left out of Matthew and other places in the Gospel, specifically Matthew, but I want to make sure we understand it because it hasn't changed, this truth. You know, by the way, while I'm thinking of it, loving that person that's next to you, that's near you, that neighbor, as yourself, that's not supposed to be a once-a-year thing. You know, like Thanksgiving comes about once a year. Christmas comes about once a year. Birthdays come about once a year. Mother's Day, Father's Day comes about once a year, right? And that would be real nice to Mom because it's Mother's Day. And then the rest of the year, ignore Mom. Or it's like these people, the guy died and they can't, you know, they're all fighting to be at the funeral. Well, who cares now? It's too late, right? If you want to show him some love, show him while he's still kicking. Don't wait until he's taking his last breath. Well, so it's not a once a year thing, is it? It's supposed to be every day, all day, every day, at every given opportunity. That's what it was with that good Samaritan, that man from Samaria. He passed by that guy on the road. It was an opportunity to help somebody in need. If you've read the record recently, then you should be reminded that a priest and a Levite got on the other side of the road and walked by that guy. Because after all, they were on their way to a temple, and he had a little blood on him. They would be unclean. Can't have that happen. So, you know, rush to fellowship, rush right past that person that needs help. You don't want to do that. And it's not a once-a-year thing. And we don't want to forget this. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, Yahweh is one. And thou shalt love Yahweh thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might. And with these words shall thou command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, when thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates." In other words, all the time, at every opportunity. And don't forget, it starts with this great, first and great commandment. To love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with everything you are and everything you ever will be, begins with one God. How can you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, with everything that you are, if you're going to divide it into threes? How can you do that? You're dividing it, right? You got to love the Lord your God with everything that you are. You cannot afford to divide that. Not in half, not in threes. Important to remember that. That is the first thing. If there are people who are loving what they call the Holy Ghost, which comes and goes according to some of these individuals, they're not loving the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They're loving what we've learned from the Word of God as a gift from God. For God is holy, and God is spirit, and can only give what he is, which is the gift of Holy Spirit, which was made available to all who will on the day of Pentecost, some 2,000 plus years ago. Confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you become filled with that Spirit, you are saved. You are made whole. You are no longer a two-part being. You're no longer a person of body and soul only. You are now a person of body, soul, and spirit. And that puts you in great debt to God to love. To love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Back in Romans, if you go there, please, where we left off or where we began. Romans 13 again. I should have told you to mark it. Verse 9 again. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended, summed up, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You want to keep all the law of God? Just love your neighbor as yourself. That simple. Everybody wants to put rules and regs on everything. Our governments, they think that the answer to everything is more money and more rules. Well, the answer to all the problems in the world is love. Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, if you love with the love of God, you are not ever going to do any of those things that we just read. Not going to do all that negative stuff. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling, the completion of the law. It's called the royal law. The night is far spent. See, I don't need a law to tell me not to steal. I don't need a law to tell me that I shouldn't lie about you. I don't need a law to tell me that I shouldn't hurt you. I don't need a law for that because I love you. Therefore, I don't need a law. You understand? When you love somebody, you don't need somebody to give you laws and rules and regs. Because love is what makes the difference. And knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The world is a dark place. And it's running out of time. The day is at hand. The day of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. The day of the Lord. The brightness, the fullness, the effulgence of his coming. And all that that means. When the darkening is made plain and the crooked ways are made straight. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly. As in the day, not in rioting, in drunkenness, not in chambering, in wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Look in Galatians chapter 5. Simple enough, isn't it? Isn't it easier to love somebody than follow a bunch of rules? Rules are difficult, especially because they're most often not very clear. Can you say IRS? I mean, look, why do people pay the income tax? Because they love the government? No. Because of fear. You see, there are two great motivators in the world, fear and love. Fear is a quick one. Oh, yeah. I can get you to move pretty quick if I put the fear of God in you. Oh, yeah. Point that .454 Casull at your head. You'll do just about anything, right? Sure. But that'll leave scars, right? Probably even a little PTS. But love might take a little longer, but it works. It's just as powerful a motivator. And that's what we want to do. We want to love. We want to move with the love of God. In Galatians 5, verse 13, brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh. But by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. In this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I mean, if you loved the government, you wouldn't have any problem paying them, would you? Or at least if the suckers would make it simple. Here it is, so simple. But it's a nightmare. Most people don't even want to look at their IRS thing because it's loaded with rules and regs and they're not clear and they often change the game at the end or in the middle somewhere. They change the rules. Don't you hate that? Well, the royal law is real simple. All the law is summed up under the one law, the love of God. Look in Colossians 3. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful. Thankfulness and love go hand in hand. When a person loves somebody, when a person walks in the love of God, when a person recognizes what God has done and loves God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, they are undeniably what? Thankful. A person who's ingrate or ungrateful is a person who is bereft of love. Somebody recently told me that they saw something on the internet about some woman who was, I guess, some kind of a refugee of some sort and brought into our country. And of course, I don't know if you know this, but all refugees that are brought in are immediately put on some kind of social welfare. Some kind of social service takes care of them with food and meds and all this kind of thing. Fine. Well and dandy. You want to help people. I have no problem with that. But this one particular woman, Middle Eastern woman, was ticked, upset, and angry because the things that her food stamps would pay did not include Middle Eastern food. That's a person who is not thankful. And a person who is not thankful is not in love with whoever it is that's trying to help them. That's like that dog that bites the hand of the person who feeds it. You see, because love and thankfulness, they do go hand in hand. If you love somebody, you are thankful for what they've done, for their love. If God has done everything he says he's done for you, then you ought to be what? Thankful. Not one day a year. Not just because you're so stuffed from eating too much that all you can do is lay there and be flatulent as you fall asleep watching TV. Football, right? If it weren't for football, I would not be playing football today. Football and my life. That's right. Thankfulness and love go hand in hand. 1 Timothy, please. He said flatulent. That's a scientific, that's a medical word. It is. I don't know how you get flat in there, but it's medical. Right, Sue? Whatever I say. Well, I could have said poot, but I didn't. That's a silly word there anyhow. Verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity. That's the love of God. That doesn't mean giving things to people. That's a King James translation of the Greek word for the love of God. The love of God is not the same as giving somebody something. Like, I always, when I read the word charity, I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I think of the word charity, I always think of the people from the Salvation Army in front of the retail stores around the holiday seasons ringing the bell with the pot. And most people consider that a charitable organization, give to charity. But you'd read in the Bible where it says, if I gave everything and did not have charity, I'm nothing. So we know that this is just a word that is no longer understood the same way today as it was when King James translators used it. So we would simply read, the end of the commandment is the love of God. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Unfeigned is another word that's not something we commonly use. It means without false pretense. That's what it means. No hypocrisy. Love without hypocrisy. No false pretense. Genuine love and believing. And you know what love does? Love, the love of God, energizes faith. Look back in Romans. This time, chapter 12. And we'll begin with verse 12. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 3. I'm going to end with verse 12. I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, not everybody has the same function. God didn't give you the same office as he's given me. You're the only you God has. And so you need to be the you that God has made you to be. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts or abilities differing according to the grace that is given to us, well, if it's prophecy, prophesy according to that proportion of faith. Or ministry, well, get busy ministering. It says let's wait on. That's wrong. Get busy ministering. Or he that teacheth, well, teach. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. Or he that giveth, do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, you know what you're good at. Do it. Do what you're good at. Don't worry about what you're not good at. Do what you're good at. Do what you know is your contribution that only you can give to the body of Christ. For God does not have anybody else like you. You are the only one he's got. And then this next verse says, let love be without dissimulation. The word let also has been added, and I would say in this case, unnecessary. It should simply read, love without dissimulation, which ought to read, love without hypocrisy. No false pretense. Love without hypocrisy. Don't just love somebody because it looks good. Don't just love somebody because they came to church. Don't just love somebody because everybody's watching you. You're supposed to love without hypocrisy. No false pretense. It's got to be what you see. It's got to be genuine. Genuine love. And if it's genuine love, it will energize your faith. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And then it says, in honor, preferring one another. That means put others before yourself in honor. Lead one another in every honorable matter. You be the leader. You be the first one to do that which is right. You be the first one to extend a hand up. You be the first one to love someone else. You be the first one. Lead others in that honorable matter. Let's do this thing right. That's in my vernacular. Let's do it right. Do it halfway. Do it right. not slothful in business, fervent in spirit serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. James chapter 2. James 2. James chapter 2, verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to person, you commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of what? Of all. For he that saith, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet you kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Simple enough, isn't it? Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, please, but you must hurry. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness or humbleness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And of course, you could continue to read what was in his mind, but we know simply that greater love hath no man. And if greater love hath no man, then you and I are in debt to that man who loved us so much that he gave his life. On August 20th, 1940, in the House of Commons, in a speech entitled The Few, Winston Churchill said, "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few." Yet even in the immensity of that moment of history, that fact pales in light of our Lord's sacrifice and resultant accomplishments for the lost of mankind, of which we are a number. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Never in the history of mankind have so many owed so much to so few. True. But never was so much owed by so many to just one. The greatest debt is love. We owe him that much.